Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, greedy baby sticky seeds with 50 as a top or kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, but Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies!
This is Doug Loves Movies!
That sounded very professional. This is where show business happens. That's right, we're coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles on Tuesday, September 17th, to Ocean's 13. Big announcement! Yeah, top of show, big announcement, starting Wednesday. That's when we went, Starting Wednesday, October 2nd at 4:15 PST, you can see my new weekly live streaming talk show at youtube.com/Doug Benson. Each week, I will sit down with a notable comedian or actor or physicist. And, all right, probably no physicist. But please check it out, because we are going to hang out and get high on camera. And the name of the show, of course, is Getting Doug with High. So, and I'm going to start every show by saying, "Let's get Doug." In other news, I spoke too soon on the Doug Loves Movies possible. On Doug Loves Minis, I said that there might be a Doug Loves Movies taping at Fantastic Fest in Austin that would be open to the public, but unfortunately it's a smaller venue this year, so it's going to be for festival badge holders only. So you do need stinking badges to get in on Friday at 4:20. But if you're a listener to the podcast and you're going to be at Fantastic Fest, by all means, come on by. Now it's time for Tweet Relief, tweets about movies. Past and future guest Dave Anthony tweeted, "I turn off Terminator movies after Arnold finds clothes." This has been Tweet Relief. Creepy tweets about movies. Prize bag. Good stuff in here, you guys. Doug Loves Movies t-shirt, a copy of Star Trek Into Darkness, a t-shirt from the nice folks at Taxi Magic, which is an app where you like press a button and a taxi appears. A mechanical robot, and of course a copy of Gateway Doug and some sort of stickers from Fuzzy Balls Apparel, and I think that's everything, on some buttons from Fuzzy Balls. And I'm very proud to say that I get to bring out the lineup that's appearing tonight because I'd like you to please welcome last time we were here, the game winner, Werner Herzog, along with John Hamm and Nick Offerman. Because it's such a rugged panel that they're excited. A lot of facial hair. And first time guest, Nick Offerman, you guys. Doffing his cap. Here you go. Just I know you're more of an actor type than a comedian, but you got to talk into that thing the whole time.
Okay. Good evening.
And may I apologize in advance for when I slip up and call you Ron.
Okay.
Because that's probably going to happen.
That's fine.
I never call that other guy Don, because he was John to me before he was Don.
That's fair.
Great story.
I think it's going great so far.
And you brought for the prize bag your book that is coming out very soon. This is like a preview copy. It's Paddle Your Own Canoe, One Man's Fundamentals for Delicious Living. Super striking pose there on the cover.
Thank you.
In a canoe with a paddle and a duck.
340 pages of humor.
Okay. There's a lot of things going on in it. Like, what's the... Oh, and it's signed by... This is a very special copy because it's signed by you... And, of course, Super Tournament of Champions winner, John Hamm is here, ladies and gentlemen. John Hamm.
Good to have you back, Doug.
With an ampersand between your names. So are you like some sort of ghost author of this?
Yeah, Nick and I co-wrote that.
Oh, okay.
Anything I do is somehow fueled by John. Literally or figuratively. I mean, you've seen him.
I have. I'm trying to figure out which one of the facial hairs he has right now, according to your book. I think he might be the tracker.
The tracker.
Right now. Which is cool. You don't want to be prison pussy. Yeah. And minus balls is a bad one.
The worst. I think the worst one is the nut smudge.
That guy, why doesn't he just get rid of that? That's like, but it's your face with all the mustaches.
When I met Harry Connick Jr., I had a goatee, and he, very incredibly charming guy, he was working on Will and Grace, and we shook hands, and he pulled me in close upon meeting and said, "Where I come from, we call that a prison pussy."
He does sound charming.
And I said, "I think we're going to be friends."
And Werner Herzog is back, you guys. Such a frequent guest. Thank you. I think between John Hamm and Werner Herzog are probably neck and neck for, you know, most frequent guests that isn't my annoying friend that I travel with a lot.
I am happy to have my neck in such close proximity to an actor of John Hamm's stature. I would like to say this is my first time meeting Nick Offerman, and I am delighted by his taciturn demeanor.
Kind of like a mirror exercise you guys are doing.
I don't understand.
Because you're a vampire. Vampires are always confused by mirror exercises. That's a game they will not play in acting class. You brought a robot, a little robot.
Yes, it is. It is a robot with my face on it. It represents my desire to have my brain transplanted into an invincible robot, to leave all nature and human frailties behind and truly render all bullets insignificant. But also, you can wind it up and he walks around. I didn't go for the one that shoots sparks. I apologize.
That's still it's a heck of a gift and a wonderful gift bag, because also we have a copy of Star Trek Into Darkness that's signed by two of its stars, John Hamm and Nick Offerman.
Don't blink.
Somebody from Paramount like contacted us via email and was like, hey, if we give you a copy of Star Trek Into Darkness, would you give it away on the podcast? And we're like, in our response is sure, but the paragraph went on to say, and if we get it signed by J.J. Abrams, can we blow this shit out of the water? I don't know what that means. Yeah, I'll give it away on the show. I don't know what... Blow this shit out of the water.
It is sad to hear that the Star Trek franchise is struggling so badly.
Yeah. This guy might lose his job if I don't blow this shit fucking out of the water.
I am pulling for that mom and pop production studio, Paramount Pictures.
Poor Paramount. Nick Offerman has a movie out on DVD today, I believe. So it'll still be out on DVD when you guys are hearing this tomorrow. And it's called Somebody...
They will not rescind its DVD-ness.
No. No, they can't do that. It's out. It's out there in the wild.
Let's just see how it goes tonight.
It's called Somebody Up There Likes Me?
Somebody Up There Likes Me.
Yeah, okay. I've never been corrected with the same words before.
It's all about where you place the caesura.
Oh.
There's no way I'm going to find the email of what I'm supposed to say, but I do
know. Oh, there's a thing you're supposed to say?
I do remember.
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to blow this shit out of the water.
It's available on Amazon and also from Barnes & Noble and another place. You can also get it for American dollars through the iTunes Corporation. And the fine people at Netflix have had it available the whole fucking time.
One place you cannot get it is Doug Loves Movies.
What does that mean?
It doesn't seem to be here this evening.
No, he brought his book.
No, I understand. I know that. I know that books and DVDs are separate entities.
But yeah.
I meant there is a movie here that is a wildly successful film which no one here is connected with. And yet, this movie that has just been released on DVD is not present.
I see what you're saying.
Is that more of the kind of correction you're used to?
It's a great prize bag. And thank you for contributing everything, but Somebody Up There Likes Me. But you can get that. I bet you it's also on video on demand as we speak.
Sure.
Sure. And it's the quirky tale of a young man who is really weird.
It's really funny, yeah.
And you play his weird waiter
his
friend.
His best friend, yeah. I say things in a sardonic fashion. My facial hair and glasses change over the years. The film happens in 7-year iterations, 5 times, 7 years later.
Oh, it's like the Up, 7 Up film.
It's just like that, yes. Mm-hmm. But with naked people, including myself.
We saw you naked in that? I don't... Ooh.
Good evening.
I didn't remember seeing you naked in that, but...
Oh, you see my fanny briefly in a swimming pool.
Oh, in a swimming pool, all right. That sounds
But
familiar.
It's on peak. It's going over and through an inner tube, so it is quite featured.
May I ask Nick a question?
Please.
How would you compare it to my favorite comedy of yours, Zodiac?
It's more it's a little more mumblecore than Zodiac.
Keep talking.
I think that's the only direction in mumblecore.
Yeah. You got it.
And you're in a world also that's out in theaters that with our future guest Lake Bell directed that motion
picture. Lake Bell
starred in it.
Wrote and directed it and starred in it. Mm, and
she's good looking.
She's also funny and smart. Yeah, she's quite annoying.
Fuck that lady.
She's quite irksome at Lake Bell.
I said that wrong. I meant more like, fuck that lady. She's everything in one.
That's
nice
not better.
Package.
It's not better at all. No.
Nope. This kind of sleazy voice. Ah, I want to jump in that lake.
That's upsetting.
I'm going to stop, but it's that's also out in limited release. And you were in a movie that I loved called Smashed.
Indeed, thank you.
And Kings of Summer, you're in everything that I like.
It's been a nice little run, and I think that's it. So
that's all the talk. You've run out of words,
everybody.
John Hamm taught you backstage how to play the Leonard Maltin game?
He did. He ran me through it quite concisely. I was impressed with his explanation.
And you think you understand it? You're not confused?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. My comprehension is not quite up to his elocution skills. But we'll see. We'll see how I did.
And the panel nods, as we do in podcasting.
John talks faster than I listen.
And well, if for your reading pleasure, I brought a card that has the rules on it that was made by a fan.
Wow.
Yeah, all the rules are just one.
This is a very official
business card. Yeah, all the business is on there. Maybe, Warner, would you like to read it? I know you love to narrate things. You played a plastic bag and a short.
That was one of several occasions in which I played a plastic bag. The game is played in the style of Name That Tune, replacing notes and song titles with actors and film titles. After picking a category, players will be read clues from Leonard Maltin's review, including the number of names listed by Leonard.
Finally, a game that's bleak.
It does sound quite hopeless when you say it out loud.
When you say it out loud.
I think it is that players must do these things. They must. They are driven to do so. They are not in control of their own actions. Players must bid how many names they need to name the movie. Names are read from the bottom up with the lowest bid named first. After each bid, the next player may bid less names or challenge the bidder to name that movie. If the challenged player correctly names the movie, they receive a point. If not, then the challenger receives the point. Players may bid negative names. A bid of negative two names indicates you can provide the name of the film along with the top two actors in the order listed by Leonard, the martinet who oversees this horrible, airless universe. Thank you. I may have embellished it slightly towards the end.
Well, let me ask you about a wrinkle that I've been discussing with a person on Twitter.
Is it time for wrinkle chat?
Yes. It is. It's 7:17. Time.
Everyone knows what that
for
means.
For wrinkle chat. It's like 4:20, but 7:17, and this is the wrinkle. If you say negative names, whatever amount of negative names you say, you do not have to get them in the order listed by Leonard. You just have to be able to name names that he listed.
I see.
What do you think of that wordor?
I feel as if this will save some frustration on the part of some people, but cause frustration on the part of some other people, as most things in life will do.
New day, same problem.
Yes,
I think.
So it's kind of like religion in that aspect.
Exactly. There are some people who find religion to be a great comfort, and others find it to be an empty fairy tale which offers no respite from the surety that we will all end up in the cold ground. And then if that's not enough, somebody puts a big rock on top of you. Insult to injury, if you ask me.
That seems unnecessary.
Like something Walt said to Jesse the other night, but I'm not going to say what it was. It was just very unnecessary. Dramatically unnecessary. Let's play the Leonard Maltin game. Let's really do it. Let's not just sit here and talk about it. Now, Nick, people fashion signs that are sometimes movie-related, but they are supposed to have their names in them, like name tags. And I'd like you and John and Werner to just go and select the person you'd like to play for based on their name tag, and then just take it from them, wrestle it from their bosom, and then bring it back here to me to demolish. No, you can hang on to it, John. And while they do that, we'll do this. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Nick was asking me if we resolve the wrinkle. What do you think of the wrinkle, John? Do you think that it would be more fun for you to just, you know, because then the negative name bidding would get pretty high, probably,
yeah,
like
but no,
five or six.
Because it's hard. It should be hard.
Yeah, that's, of course, the best player would say that, the super champion.
So you feel, John Hamm, as if the players must suffer at the mercurial whims of Leonard Maltin and his credit ordering?
Yes.
Fair enough.
That seems fair.
It does seem fair. Nick, could you hold up your name tag? I'm going to make a vine of it. And who are you playing for? What's the name on that thing?
All the President's Men.
What is that? Oh, so his name is Al, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good one, Al. Al, the President's Men. John, what do you got?
I am playing for Tony.
Tony and a little thing there.
Big okay. Tony crowd.
I got to move over here for Werner.
You may call me Ron. This is Sarah the Barbarian. She has drawn over, she has defaced this Conan the Barbarian poster. And which the letters match up fairly well.
All right, so that's who you guys are playing for. And we should probably start with Werner because he was our winner 2 weeks ago. That's why he's back tonight. He's always gracious about coming back. Despite his many projects, he's, you know, like, it was funny. He when I asked him to do the show again, he texted me. And even put in I'm driving and then a smiley face. So I thought that was really...
Did you notice that the smiley face was winking? Because I was...
So being, not smiling.
I was being very naughty.
All right, so we'll start with... Naughty Pants, and then we'll go to give Nick a chance to, you know, kind of acclimate and figure out what's going on here. We'll go to Mr. Ham, and then we'll go to you, Nick. And well, I guess I should use this. just put the phone down. I don't need the app. I memorized all of it. Celebrating a birthday today, Werner, is many several directors like Neil Blomkamp and a couple other ones I can't remember right now, but also Kyle Chandler, actor Kyle Chandler.
Yes.
Very, very good actor. Have you worked with him, fellas?
I have.
Yeah. What'd you work with him
on? In? The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, okay.
He was not the original.
Yeah.
Yes, we both were killed in that movie.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
Coach Taylor and Don Draper both died in The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That's a good potential future category. But for tonight, we've got Kyle Chandler movies, because it's his birthday. But then also other options are from at the bottom of Q on Twitter suggested, France Says Ha. And that's the films of Jerry Lewis. And then N. Daimler, D-E-I-M-L-E-R, suggested, Beat Me Up, Scotty. And that's films where Simon Pegg punches someone. So which one of those three categories appeals to the great Werner Herzog?
In honor of Kyle Chandler's birthday and the episode of Friday Night Lights that I directed that was never allowed to air.
It must have been a tragic loss.
Yeah, what happened in that episode?
It involved the ghost of Klaus Kinski appearing to Buddy Garrity and inspiring him to drag his car dealership over a mountain.
Why would they not air that? That sounds so accessible.
We were $1 billion over budget. Craft services, we were forced to offer Kirkland water.
Oh, that's not bad. The year is 2005. 3.5 stars from Leonard for this movie that he says is it won like 3 Oscars. And he also says that it is it's a tough one to pull out another clue. Oh, the director co-wrote it with 2 other people.
Sounds like a real team effort.
And Leonard lists a mere 9 names. How many names do you think you can get it in? WH.
I believe I can name that film in 7 names.
Knocked off 2, John.
6.
Oof. Can you see what's happening here?
I do.
I know you don't like games, Ron.
So you can go lower or ask John to name it if you think he might fail.
5 names and it'll start from the bottom.
Yeah. Or you can go even lower than 5.
I'll say 4.
Yeah. Came to Play.
Name that movie.
All right. 4 names. The category is Kyle Chandler is in this movie. And 3.5 stars from Leonard from 2005. 3 Oscars. Director co-wrote it with 2 other people. And the 4 names are Kyle Chandler. Sorry about that. he's the 9th billed person.
This game is tough.
And then Jamie Bell, Evan Park, and Andy Serkis from 2005.
And now I say the movie?
Say the name of it. Just out loud.
King Kong.
That's correct!
Good night. Thank you. We are emerged champions.
We're playing to 2 points. But so far, you have a huge lead.
Halfway home.
Because you're 1 point away from the win. You're halfway there. And that means for the next round, we are going to start with, since you were challenged by...
What Academy Awards challenge. Did King Kong win?
Oh, let me look it back up again.
Technical Awards.
Yeah, fair for enough. Sure. Yeah, okay. It got that same three the Star Wars got, and, you know, Close Encounters got.
Didn't it win for longest screenplay?
I'm not going to look it up. I'm in a hurry. I'm in a big hurry here.
The ultimate diss.
All right, I'll look it up.
I'm just having fun. A fun roast of Peter Jackson.
Sound mixing, sound editing. You'd be surprised. Those people don't even meet each other. How different they are.
And, but they can hear each other at all times.
Yes.
And visual effects were the 3 that won. It had amazing visual effects. It was a story of people who wanted to bring a monkey back to New York and didn't give a shit about the fact that there were dinosaurs
on the same... We've seen monkeys, not ones that big.
But why are they excited about the crazy flying insects?
The dinosaurs are just standard size. Who could possibly care?
They would scoop them up if they were extra tiny.
People needed the diversion during the Great Depression, and those horrible silent films were not getting the job done.
I think Werner gets to go first again, because who challenged Nick?
I challenged.
Oh, you
Nick.
Did? Okay, so yes. John gets to go first, and then we'll go to Werner. And sure. It's a complicated. You don't need to understand it. That's why you win. You're so focused on the real issues.
That is, no, it isn't.
Your options are Cars 2, Judgment Day.
I would like to point out the fact that the little doll that I was given has a butthole.
It's got an X on it. So that
That's
means,
a butthole.
So it means it's a butthole on the internet. Or no, in a,
it's an asterisk.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the threads is blonde.
Bleached. I guess.
Perhaps it is like a Build-A-Bear situation where the child is allowed to add the rectum itself.
Is that a thing at Build-A-Bear?
The child is allowed
it's
to
up to the kid,
the heart to put in the bear. Can you imagine a situation where a child would deny the heart to the bear? Say, no, I do not wish to put a heart in this bear.
Doesn't really need one.
It's just an
excellent
stuff,
point,
stuffed
animal.
Yes, it doesn't need a real bear heart. Why are they doing this gruesome act? Parents should be outraged.
In Grizzly Man.
Yes.
Excellent segue.
How big do you think that bear's heart was?
Not as big as its capacity to flay and destroy human beings. It was a real Grinch situation.
That was another train coming into the station right on time. Cars 2, Judgment Day. That's movies that are animated and a character dies. Yeah. It's a heavy category. The Thin Red Line, that's movies that have a misspelled word in the title. So it has like a red line under it. Isn't it funny that when you type the word podcast, it still has a red line under it? They refuse to acknowledge, like on iTunes, they don't acknowledge the word podcast, but that's where you get them. The third option is at the Amanda Graves suggested 16 candles. Oh, wait, I didn't load one in for that. How about Manti Tybo suggested We Are Farmers. And that's movies that take place on a farm.
Doug, may I
please,
ask?
Please pick that one.
Don't influence the other player's decision, sir.
Did they write out all the bumper bumps?
I think they did. So I just decided to let the audience do them. What do you think, John?
The dead cartoon one.
Okay. this cartoon where somebody dies got 3.5 stars from Mr. Malton. He calls it wonderfully imaginative and touching and exciting and consistently surprising. And he lists 6 names.
What year was it?
2009. I don't think I said it. How many names,
Adam? How many
Adam?
Names does he list?
You've got 6 names.
2009.
Mm-hmm. Somebody dies in this animated film.
No one really dies. I mean, they're cartoons.
No. The person who did the voice
was murdered.
For authenticity. And it wasn't even a murder. That wasn't even the cause of death in the movie.
They just, after he finished looping, they murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
Seems severe. 6 names.
Oh, okay. He took them all.
I can name this film
it's
in
not your turn.
Oops, I do apologize. I thought you were
saying... Just because you're German, you should want to follow rules.
I thought
that's kind of your guy's thing.
I thought you were saying six names as a bid.
Just
but
pay attention.
You were saying six names as a desperate
just
stalling tactic.
Pay attention. Jesus. Nick, it's your turn. I'm sorry for our
right?
German friend.
Thank
no,
you,
that's
John.
Not right. It's Werner's turn.
Just pay attention. It's your turn. Please, follow the rules. You people.
Was I correct in my initial assumption that six names was your bid?
Yes.
You're going to stick with five?
I can name that film in negative one names.
Oh. Baller. Now, the wrinkle comes into play.
The moment we have all feared.
It is time. So that means that
if you go negative two or more, you have to name the correct names in the order as listed by Leonard from the top.
Werner Herzog, name that film.
There you go.
All right.
The film is Up, and the actor is Ed Asner.
And I'm guessing you love that movie.
Of course I do.
Because Ed Asner's wife dies in the first 10 minutes.
That's correct.
And then the fun begins. And that is correct. Werner Herzog's on the board.
I have been spared the wrath of the wrinkle.
And now we start with... Wow. We start with John and then move to Nick this time because the order changes like that. Every time. At Fooled You Twice suggested Gladiator, and that's cannibals movies with cannibals. And then I hate saying this out loud, but I'm going to say it one more time and I'm going to erase it. Cuntatron suggested it's a woman, I met her, and she's half robot and half anyway. She suggested Arch Enemies because we were in St. Louis at the time, so that's movies where landmarks get destroyed. United States landmarks get destroyed. And then this is one of my favorite categories in a while. At Topiary Skeleton suggested Million Dollar Baby Arm. And that's movies with male frontal nudity. Which one of those would you like to play, John?
I think we have our choice. It's a Million Dollar Baby Arm.
Of course it is. Why would that not get chosen? Two stars from Leonard for this movie that has a baby arm in it. The year is 2011. He says about this movie that it takes place in Manhattan. And that...
I can name that movie in negative two names.
Wait a second. What is happening? Oh, Nick, I'm sorry about this. You're in a tough spot. Tough wrinkle.
I'll have the rest of the film description, please.
All right. And then I just read the whole thing. I think that was all the clues I was going to give. Oh, no, I'll give one more. Right? Because I'd given one.
Did you give any clues? The one clue was that it was set in Manhattan.
Yes. I'll give one more. Because I usually give two
That's
or three.
Very decent of you.
He gave us a year.
The other one I'm going to give you is hailed in some quarters as brilliant. Which you probably wouldn't say if you thought it was brilliant.
Hailed
in some quarters as brilliant. And I joined those quarters.
In quarters or corners?
Quarters.
Oh, I see.
I apologize.
I said,
those quarters may indeed include corners.
And Leonard lists a mere four names. And John Hamm has already leapt to negative two.
All right, so it's not up to me to end the sequence. How do I pass to
You just say John Hamm, name that movie, and then he's going to name it. He's going to name the top two
billed
people.
What if Werner wants to go -3?
Nick Werner is blocked at this point.
This is something that must happen.
Yes. I call it the Sam Levine scenario.
Yes,
where sometimes the best player doesn't get to participate.
I am powerless to overcome this block.
But the good news is it'll just cause a three-way tie if John does it correctly, and then we'll go one more exciting round.
Okay, then, John Hamm, please, by all
means, tell us what we all know you're going to say.
The movie is Shame, and the first actor is Michael Fassbender, and the second actor is Carey Mulligan.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Another cap doffing.
Okay, so now since we have a three-way tie, we're going to start with who got you. Werner was left out of that particular skirmish.
Sadly, yes.
So you get to start, and then and then we will go to the challenger, Nick Offerman, and this is the tiebreaker, which is asparagus pee, which means I'm going to read the entire review out loud, and then the bidding begins. So it just becomes a game of negative names and who can go deepest.
And this if I may, this is a scenario wherein the kindness of a wrinkle can save no one.
Understood.
3 stars from Leonard for this movie from 1988 that he calls a dynamite action yarn about a NYC cop who just happens to be visiting LA in a high-rise when it's commandeered by terrorist thieves. Great action scenes and stunts with Richard Edlund's special effects and a perfect part for Willis. What you talking about? Who plays cat and mouse with bad guy Rickman. Marred only by overlength and too many needlessly stupid supporting characters. They are pretty dumb in that movie. A lot of stuff doesn't get taken care of because how dumb everybody is. And it's followed by 2 sequels, of course. And Leonard wrote that before he knew there'd be more.
Fair enough.
Yes.
This bespectacled tyrant still lacks the ability to see into the future. There is some hope of crushing him yet.
Although I bet this app started after there had already been yet another Die Hard movie.
Maybe time to update.
Yeah, update your app, Mr. Malton. No idea what that voice was.
It was a sort of country time Bane. Just Bane
appearing on Hee Haw.
He's relaxing by the old swimming hole.
I just, for some reason, had a picture of Bane enjoying some lemonade.
Absolutely. By the old swimming
when
hole.
When life gives you lemons, go back into the darkness. Leonard Liss. 16 names. Here we go.
The bidding begins with me.
Mm-hmm.
I can name that film in -4 names.
Whoa!
Yippee! Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so please swear into your microphone.
Son of a bitch.
How many, do you think you could go deeper, Nick, or do you want to just hope that Werner is showboating as he did with Fitzcarraldo?
Which was it, the original that had the guy from Good Times?
I know what you mean, but I'm going to say no more.
Werner Herzog, name that film.
You were hoping he'd go 5?
I didn't know what I was hoping for. All hope has been wrung out of me by the looming specter of Leonard Maltin.
The kindness of a wrinkle will be of no respite.
Indeed.
I believe is what you said.
I am beyond the wrinkles' rescue.
That's the name of the third Hobbit movie.
I thought it was a Shar-Pei rescue service. It sticks with you. It takes a while. It's a thinker.
It's a real Rodin.
I have time for two more. four negative names.
Mm-hmm. What's the film called?
It is called Die Hard. Yes.
I cannot confirm.
Chew that one over. Bruce Willis.
Hey, Werner, do you think you would recognize Silverado if the whole movie were described to you?
No.
You'd probably also get it confused with Tombstone?
Perhaps.
All right.
I beg your pardon. There's a young lady who's saying something. Silverado or Tombstone?
Tombstone's
either
the best,
answer
best
is insane.
It's the best movie where Val Kilmer flips little cups on his fingers. It's definitely the best of those. Bruce Willis, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I am your
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was pretty good.
Are we talking in terms of best movie ever contenders?
No. Movies where Val Kilmer flips things on his fingers. As was Top Gun.
Go ahead.
Bruce Willis.
And who could forget Real Genius?
Real Genius, sorry. Absolutely.
Please, Werner, go ahead. Top Secret!
Top Secret. it's funny because the best movie ever is clearly The Island of Dr. Moreau, which also stars Val Kilmer and someone perverting nature.
Who's your second build? MacGruber?
How deep is the Val Kilmer barrel?
Alan Rickman. Here's where it gets tricky.
Talk us through it. We want to hear the Doors into your mind.
There are two actors I am envisioning. Also an actress. The actress had very little to do in this film. The two actors had more to do. I am going to say Reginald Vell Johnson and Alexander Gudinov.
So you're going with Bruce Willis, Alan Rickman, Reginald Vell Johnson from Good Times.
He played Kenny.
And Alexander Gudinov.
That's close enough.
I'm sad to say that answer is not good enough. Because they fucking threw Bonnie Bedelia in there.
Her agent is a powerhouse.
She's third build. That means who challenged him? Was Nick challenged? Nick is our winner.
Holy Christ.
Magnificent performance.
I feel as if we have been hustled by Nick Offerman. That he showed up with his own Leonard Maltin guide in a velvet-lined case.
Where's
Don't
Al
be ridiculous.
At? Where's Al? Come on, get your prizes, Al. Congratulations. Do you want your shitty name tag back? Okay, we can hang on to this? Okay, great.
I feel like...
Just going to put this. I've got a special... did you guys have shitheads on the back of your business over there, do you think? Oh, John's does, yes. And that's, you know, John and Werner are two of the best players, Nick, so you really really stepped up to
the... We all get lucky sometimes.
We need, what was the name on the poster?
Sarah. So if Sarah could come up here and just write down a shithead for me on this piece of paper. Anybody you want me to call a shithead? I know you didn't want to desecrate that beautiful poster by writing, scribbling something illegible on the back of it, because you know I can't read that, right?
Let me fill time with a fun fact. Did you know texting that Ron Perlman was in this update of Conan the Barbarian? No, you didn't.
I did not. Do you have anything to plug, Werner, before we get out of here? After your very sad defeat today?
Yes, please, everyone, watch the new CBS sitcom Mom, which I've directed several episodes of.
Who did you have more fun working with, Anna Faris or Allison Janney?
Allison Janney, she is a lover of life.
I don't want to know about the other one now.
She likes life okay.
Anna Faris, she liked life okay. Dead too soon. I don't know why I'm eulogizing Anna Faris.
Doug, you should have said dead at exactly the right time.
John, you got 5 or 6 movies coming out? You've got them like backed up on the runway?
No. Million Dollar Arm comes out in May.
That's why he had to pick it.
Jen and I are kickstartering a documentary that's about a friend of ours who grew up in the circus, and he's actually doing a show down at the Taper right now. It's called Humor Abuse. His father was a clown, and he grew up and ran away from the circus. So we're making a documentary out of it. So check it out on Kickstarter. It's under Humor Abuse, and blah, 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 blah. It's really going to be really good.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Also, Star Trek Into Darkness coming out on DVD. Let's blow the shit out of the water, you guys. I am for reals.
Nick has got his book out that I don't have anymore because we gave it away. What's the title of it again?
Paddle Your Own Canoe, One Man's Fundamentals for Delicious Living.
I should have let you say it the first time. That's much more effective. They're flying off the shelves. And Parks and Rec comes back very soon.
Next week.
And yeah.
Thank you. It's a quality program.
And Find Somebody Up There Likes Me and wallow in its oddness. It's an extremely odd movie.
It's
but
quite enjoyable.
I had fun watching it, for sure.
There's a lady named Megan Mullally who's incredibly funny.
What?
And has shapely poots.
I wish we had more time, you guys, to for a follow-up question on that. But apologies to put your hands together. We went a few minutes over. But such a fun show. One more time for all of my guests, Werner Herzog, John Hamm, and Nick Offerman. Hey, can you come back in 2 weeks, Nick?
I think I'm playing Tallahassee.
Okay, yeah, he's busy in 2 weeks. But that would be your option if you wanted to come back, because when you win, you can return.
Oh. Really?
That's what happened with Werner. He won a couple weeks ago, so now he was back
Doug
tonight.
Doug speaks the truth.
I definitely would like to come back.
You just might be busy.
I'm going to have to take a rain check on 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll talk. We'll discuss it.
It's ridiculous that I would excel in any way in a game of chance involving movie knowledge, unless we get into John Wayne or The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Okay, let's do it right now. So, more apologies to put your hands together, because I want to know how negative can you go on the names on Bridge Over the River Kwai?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Not even Alec fucking Guinness? Can't go one?
Negative one.
Okay.
I could give you 3 entertaining guesses. Peter Lorre is in every 7 out of 10 films in that.
Okay, we're really doing this. I'm sorry. I thought we gave up on it. Peter Lorre. Bridge.
No, not a fucking chance.
Over.
But Peter Silverstein.
That's just, I think it's pronounced Ustinov.
That's just playing the numbers.
the app won't even acknowledge that that's a movie. I'm pretty sure it is. I whistle it all the time.
On the Ridge, on the River.
No, but Bridge. Oh, okay, I get it.
Were you about to say, but bridges go over things?
No, I was about to say that just the word bridge should have brought up, you know, that and some other titles, and it didn't, and nothing came up. So that's why I think it's not going to come up at all. It might be a bad internet connection in here, because bridge on isn't doing shit. Wait, okay. I don't think that's the right one.
I think that's from The Great Escape.
I think you hijacked it.
Was whistling a thing that in movies back then? It must have been like a
Dave
thing.
Bilderberg.
It was very popular. Whistling's been too much of a thing on Douglas movies. It's weird that you guys even got into it, because the normal whistler isn't here.
Isn't it nice to hear it have a melody for a change?
Yes, it is. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you,
thank you
to UCB. Let me grab a picture of you guys as we go to the closing theme. And as always, Bruce Springsteen is a shithead. I just threw the thing down after I said it. That's not good for you. That's got to be bad luck to say that. And then, of course, texting while driving is a shithead.
Now it's time for us to watch each other talking. Eyes of both is viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.